I'm Mr. Johnson. I teach the CAD and Engineering program at the Montcalm Area Career Center. Hopefully here to help promote my program today.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we are going to look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Discover Montcalm podcast, where, as you can see, I'm in a little different location today. I'm in the podcast studio at the Montcalm Area Career Center, talking with the CAD and engineering instructor, and I have behind the scenes some of my students. I've got Kennedy, Logan, and Will. They're doing behind the scenes photos, video, and Will is directing this episode today. So we're kind of giving some real world type of career exposure here. So, Mike, Mr. Johnson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start, because you and I share one thing in common that I learned after I started working here. We're both Ferris State Bulldogs.
Yep.
We both have, you know, graduated from Ferris. What year did you graduate?
Which time? I've actually got a few degrees. My first degree was just an associate's in architecture, which was back in 1989. Mm-hmm. So date myself a little bit. And then I've completed my bachelor's in education somewhere in the late 90s. And then I completed my master's in career and technical education from them in 2013.
Okay. So all at Ferris?
All at Ferris.
You're just a bulldog.
Yep. I've taken classes at a lot of different colleges and transferred stuff, but Ferris is the one that I have all my degrees from.
Okay. And I also was from Ferris, and I graduated in 83. So back when I graduated, it was a college.
Yep.
In 86, it turned into a university.
Yep. So when I first started there, it was still a college. It transferred to a university before I was done.
Okay. So now we got a little bit about your education. Once you got your degree in architecture, you went out into the world of work.
Yes.
What was your first jobs? And I take it while you were doing your other schooling, you were probably working at the same time.
Basically, I started working. So when I had my associate's degree, I went out and worked for architectural engineering firms. There was several of them in Grand Rapids area over the years. Some of them don't exist anymore, so I've outlasted them. But I got to the point at the job that I realized I was teaching new employees skills I felt they should have known when they came out of a college or at a high school level. And so I think that's what started me on the path of, let's go back and do education. What's my career path going to be? So I was probably in industry almost 10 years before I actually got into a school setting.
Okay. So that school setting, what was your first teaching job?
My first teaching job, I was actually hired at Kenowa Hills High School in north side of Grand Rapids as a full-time drafting instructor. I had 6 classes of drafting.
Okay.
Back when it was still, there wasn't the requirements for all the core curriculum as much. Mm-hmm. So I could be scheduled with students just for that purpose.
Okay. So during that time, you started when you were working, realizing that maybe you had a little teacher in you.
Yep.
Because it was something that you were finding yourself doing, and you went, oh, I think that maybe I should be a teacher someday.
Yep.
So fast forward from Kenowa Hills to the Montcalm Area Career Center, what time frame are we talking about there?
So we're looking at about 8 years now I've been here at the Career Center.
Okay, so going back 8 years, that was
like 2018, 2019.
Okay.
I was almost at 20 years at Kenowa Hills. So now I've got, I'm in 7 years here now teaching. It was over the years at Kenowa Hills, it got to the point of where I wasn't just teaching drafting. They had me spread out because of the core curriculum stuff.
Okay.
We're coming to the Career Center. It was a kind of a relief to me because now I could go back to focusing on design and engineering.
Okay. Speaking of that, you teach CAD, computer-aided
design.
Design.
Or and computer-aided drafting, it doesn't matter.
I was going to say drafting, but maybe that's older school?
Well, that's usually you see the term CADD.
Okay.
Computer-aided drafting and design.
Okay.
But you can do CAD, which covers either or.
Either or.
Yep.
And then you've got engineering.
Engineering, yeah.
So let's start with your program specifically. First-year students, and just to let everybody know, they come to the Career Center as a junior in 11th grade. And for your program, the first year is CAD.
Usually, yep, I have them do the CAD program. It depends. I may have a senior that comes in for their first year, and then we have to kind of see what their knowledge is and their background is.
So you're adaptable.
I'm adaptable, very adaptable.
So let's talk about first year in the sense of a junior. What is the CAD program covering in that first year?
Okay. So I try to always start them out. I'm a little bit old school that I still feel they need to understand basic drafting. So
paper
and pencil.
Okay.
And I usually refer to it as this is the history of CAD or history of design. Mm-hmm. And usually a lot of businesses approve of that because it shows that the students have some visualization that they can sketch things out. So we do that at the beginning, and then we slowly work them into the CAD program. Once I got them into CAD, and then I can start showing them how you can adapt those CADs to do additive manufacturing, which is 3D printing, or even sending stuff out to either go to a laser or plasma file so they can get a physical object out of what they've designed.
So they start with an object, and then they take that object and make an end product from that.
They may even start off with a simple drawing that's on some file somewhere or some concept.
I've sent you a couple of those.
Yep, exactly. So we've start with a little bit of everything. We get some ideas from clients that come in and say, hey, can you make us this? Mm-hmm. And so somebody will sketch it out and then they'll start working on building it.
So the first year is the CAD program. When they come back as a second year, they're primarily looking at the engineering. So tell me, what's the difference between CAD and engineering before we get into your engineering program?
Well, some of it overlaps quite a bit. There's a lot of similarities. It's usually the first year I'm trying to get them to understand just the concepts of how to design stuff, mm-hmm. going over the basics. What's a single view drawing? What's a multi-view drawing? The orthographic projection stuff. But I also have them using a basic 2D CAD program, which is AutoCAD. I move into second years, they're still doing CAD designs, but they're a little bit more open with it, a little more flexible, and I put them into SolidWorks because that's a 3D parametric program where now their design starts right off as a three-dimensional concept. Okay. But then we get into the competitions. They're heading competitions a little bit more than my first-year students are.
And I was going to lead into that. I know that your program does a lot of it's square one competitions. Yep. Talk about that. And you said that mainly it's the second years, but sometimes the first.
Right.
But the basis behind the competitions, what are these competitions?
Well, I'll go back a little bit because I've done a lot of different competitions over the years. We've done, an electric car. It's the National Electric Car. Over the years of my teaching, I've done several different competitions, whether they're national or even local. I've done Vex Robotics. I've done First Robotics.
Okay.
So there's a number of them in the background. But the ones I always kind of stick with because they're very supportive of education and have gotten to the point of where they're very much focused in Michigan. So I know I'm kind of being isolated, but it makes it a lot easier to coordinate with the students and being able to do it as a classroom
project. But you're traveling up north.
Michigan's a big state still, so we get around. But the competitions, I stick with the two main ones I stick with are the MITES. So MITES is Michigan Industrial Technology Education. It's been around for almost 100 years. It started in 1928.
Okay.
And that allows us to take students' drawings, designs, some fabrication items. And the student doesn't necessarily have to be at the competition. There are some live competition things. I like to try and take them to see it, mm-hmm. but that allows me at least take every student's work in some way, shape, or form and enter it for them to earn, some recognition in the state. Plus, it also gives them opportunity for scholarships because both those programs have scholarship opportunities as well. Square One, I've gotten into now, it's probably been a little over 15 years I've been with them.
Okay.
And they've expanded, but their Square One Education Network started. It's an organization here in Michigan that started down in the southwest corner of the state near where all the automotive places are.
Okay.
Their focus is to make sure students kind of understand their biggest ones. They call it IVD, so Innovative Vehicle Design.
Okay.
Every competition they do has some concept that goes along with some vehicle concept. We do the underwater, we've done the vehicle to everything, and we do a full scale and a mini. But they also have autonomous, they have drones, So there's a few other programs that we haven't done that they have their hands are into.
Okay.
So it's been very, and again, they're very supportive. They put on educational for teachers workshops to show us, you know, how to do concept stuff. They're very supportive and when it looks for grant money. The thing I like about their program is that it's not just build something and go and compete with it. It's not us going and doing NASCAR.
Right.
We're building an electric car to be able to go and do a road course, do figure eights, have sensors on it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do presentations. They have to do reports.
Guidelines.
Guidelines. There's guidelines. And there's a number of tasks. So it allows students to be a little more flexible in the classroom. You're good at coding, then do some coding stuff for this program. Teamwork is really more beneficial.
I was about ready to say, competitions. Everything that you're talking about actually makes them work as a team.
Yes.
And because when you're out in industry, you're not the only person designing something. You're on a team.
Yep.
So this is a great, I guess, step stool type of approach to getting from here to there and being able to work with somebody that might have a differing opinion. And then how do you get to the final conclusion?
Yep.
You know, so, you know, have boxing gloves ever come out between their designers?
There are some times where they'll argue about stuff, but then that's where my job is to step in and help facilitate it.
Right.
You know, I've got to, you know, just judge, should they let them go for a little while and see if they can work it out? Or do I need to step in and say, oh, you guys need to take a breath?
But that happens in industry too.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just preparing them for that career outside of the program here.
Yep.
So between your CAD and an engineering program, these students come in at a junior level, and if they take 2 years with you, this is giving them a good jump start on what their life might be, you know, if they follow this path.
Right. And they get a lot of opportunities within the program. I mean, we go out and do a lot of field trips to whether it's, you know, colleges. You know, I show them all their pathways that they can have, whether it's going into the military, going directly into employment, mm-hmm. going to college. They also earn, you know, credits towards some of those things. They also have opportunities for multiple scholarships. They're earning, you know, credit for their school even here, more than some of them might think.
Yeah.
So.
Because the Career Center basically is equivalent to like 3 courses back at their high school.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, the work level needs to be up to that as well. And you get a variety of students that are coming in. Some know something and some don't.
Right.
So, you know, and I think that happens in every program in this building, is that you get some that already know some auto, or in my program, some that have already done some video editing. We just kind of take everybody where they're at and try to raise their expectations and that type of thing. If there's a challenge in your program in that, what would it be and how do you get around that challenge?
The Discover Montcalm podcast wants to thank West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions, WGLM 106.3 FM, DW Video, and Business Growth Engine. Thank you for your support.
Can you clarify what you think the challenge is? Because I figure every day is a challenge.
Right.
It's just how well do they adapt and figure it out.
So life.
Life, exactly. That's, you know, that's the way it life is. That's what you got to do. You got to figure out how to manipulate things or make it work for you or your team.
Right.
So to be honest, in the years I've taught, I don't think I've ever had any major challenge that I don't feel that couldn't have been, you know, it hasn't been resolved, figured out, worked with. But I think it also depends on us. You know, you and I are the same kind of thing. We have some industry background, but we have a way of working with kids and getting them to understand, you know, failure is part of learning.
Yeah, we just had that discussion
this
morning.
We did.
And it is one of those things that I tell them, if you meet somebody that has never failed, I'd question that. Yeah, I would, because... And the discussion we had with the students this morning was, it's okay to fail.
Yep.
But staying in that failure, you got to figure a way to get out of it.
Right. And that's one of the things I have posted in the room. Failure is an option as long as you learn from it and grow from it.
Yeah.
So
I've tried things in my program that were like when I got done going, you know, that really didn't work how it did. I thought it was going to. Not that I failed, but I worked a way to adapt it.
Right. Well, like I said, I've been teaching, what, 26 years?
Yeah, you've been teaching a lot longer than I have.
I have been teaching a long year, but I still look at it as that I modify and adapt things all the time.
Yeah.
There's always things. It may work one year, and it doesn't work another year. So it's just how do you make it successful?
Because you got a different group of people coming in. And
different mindsets, different talents, different background information. You know, different home life things that, you know, we're not always privy to everything either. So
you've got students that come in and you're teaching them a skill, but you go beyond just teaching them CAD and engineering.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the other skills that these students end up picking up? And I don't know if it's not just in your class. I think it's a building wide thing, but what are some of those things that you see that we're teaching that isn't necessarily CAD or engineering or how to focus a camera type of thing?
Well, I think the competitions have helped me do that because it gives them that, you know, I could have them sitting in a classroom drawing stuff day after day. Here's a drawing. Make this into a multi-view. Make this into an isometric. And they never get out of the classroom. It's the soft skills. So me greeting them in the morning, learning, you know, how to do a handshake, have an eye contact, being able to ask questions no matter what the thing is. You know, we push a lot of math information on them. Mm-hmm. We go through vocabulary of tools and equipment that may not necessarily be something they use down the line or not.
But they have a knowledge.
They have a knowledge of it. And going out and meeting businesses and how they apply stuff, being able to talk to judges, being able to, you know, life skills.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the bigger things I try to push. It's like, you know, and I understand that because not every kid that takes my program, that's the nice thing about the Career Center. Come here, see if it's what you like. You may not like it. You may decide on something else, but at least you've learned that opportunity before you went off to college and
spent
4 years. Exactly.
And it's okay that you take something for 2 years and end up going out and going a totally different direction.
I've had students that take my program for 2 years and went off to college and became an accountant. But we do budgeting in the class on stuff too. So maybe he decided that's something he liked to do and that's where he went.
So it's providing that. And I think from my standpoint, I agree with everything that you've said, seeing their self-esteem.
Yeah.
Seeing their self-esteem grow.
Yep.
Because a lot of my students have never worked an outside job. The way our county is set up, transportation tends to be one of the things that stops people from getting jobs at an early age.
Yep.
You know, so they haven't had that experience. But when they get to us, they are a junior, if they're coming in at that point. They're 1 or 2 years from going out and being in the work world. So it's those soft skills that really trying to help people learn because they got to carry themselves.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to live in their parents' basement all their life, they've got to learn a way to go out.
I think
and do
that's kind of our focus, is trying to get them where they don't live in their parents' basements all their life.
You're welcome, parents.
Yes, that we're trying to get them, you know, to be part of society and make a difference and move ahead. And again, you're right, be very positive about their future and their outcome, and know that we're here to support them and encourage them to do that.
You can find all the programs that are available here at the Montcalm Area Career Center by going to mymac.com, scroll down the page a little bit, and every program that's here is there. Your program is under the CAD and Engineering. Click on that, open it up. There's more in-depth discussion there. So parents out there that you think that your kid might be interested in that, and you know, students out there that think you're interested, check it out. Look at it. Your phone number and your email is
there.
So if you're a, you know, freshman or a sophomore and you're thinking about it, send an email to them. Reach out. We will give tours. We will meet with you if you need to be. You know, I know through the Career Center, there's, you know, eighth grade visitation, there's sophomore visitation. So they get to come out and try it. But we
do a little bit more too, because if you haven't seen us out and about, because of the fact that we can do the additive manufacturing with 3D printing and the lasers, we actually go out to craft shows. So the students learn to do volunteering time, learn to be able to speak in public. So that's another, I guess that's when you were asking before.
Yeah.
Something we do a little bit more than other programs is that we try to get out in the community. So we've been to Anderson and Girls a number of times. We've gone to Stanton's Old Fashioned Days. We've did Edmore Potato Festival.
Okay.
So look for us. We're out there. And if there's things that you might want,
And every year you tend to get
a little bit bigger. Yes. In fact, just this morning I had one of the workers at the ISD came down and said, "Hey, can you recreate this for us?" So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would much rather give my students a client project from somebody in the community than something out of a textbook.
Yeah, up to this year, I had client projects. This year, I don't have a client project. And I really think that them working with a client is important because it's real. I mean, they have a need, and you have to work through that need, and there's multiple ways of doing it. So that opportunity is there. So mymac.com, you can check out all the programs, and especially in this case, the CAD and engineering program. Yep. As I wrap this up, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to leave us with?
No, there probably is. It just, you know, there's so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
Again, just feel free to contact me. You know, let me know if there's something we can help you out with. Or again, like you said, if you want to come in and see what we do in the program, my door is always open.
Yeah.
And I'm usually here early and late too. So
yeah, if I ever beat him here, he's sick.
I'm never sick.
Yeah, you're never sick. So, you know, with that, again, mymac.com, you can check out all the programs and yours in particular. You know, there's your email. There's a way of contacting you through that. Reach out to the school if you would like to tour it. You know, the programs, we can set anything up and right. We can do anything.
I guess if there's anything I would add is if there's anybody out there that sees this that wants to know if they can help contribute, whether it's their knowledge, their skills, you know, they have leftover equipment, something sitting around. I'm a hoarder, so I have lots of equipment because we do a lot of projects. So I'm open to, you know, any kind of outside source. I don't know everything.
And you don't know everybody.
I won't ever claim to know everything. So even in CAD, even though I've been doing CAD since I was in high school, it changes constantly. So,
same with my program. Yep. I'm always learning.
Yep. And I figure I will until the day I die. So.
And that's a good attitude to have.
Yeah.
So whether somebody's got knowledge that would be a guest speaker.
Yep.
Or whether they have stuff that they could, you know, they're going, "Hey, I got all this stuff, but I don't know what to do with it." Your program would be a good one for the CAD and engineering.
Absolutely.
So materials,
yep.
Wood, plastics, metal, whatever it is,
yep.
Just contact you.
Like you said earlier, if there's somebody who wants something done, we do a lot of outside projects. We've done some stuff for Dicastle in Greenville. We've done stuff for different programs in the building. We're doing plaques for some of the state competition events.
You've done stuff for my Discover MyCom podcast. So, I just come with you and you put it together. And, you know, there's a small fee, but that's okay.
Right.
Because it's also...
That's part of the learning for those students, too.
And when the students come down and talk to me, they have to have a one-on-one discussion.
Yep.
So I think that's fabulous.
Yep.
So thank you so much for sharing your program. MyMac.com is what you go to find it. You can follow the Discover MyCom podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as going to discovermontcompodcast.com. Grab the RSS feed that's there. Put it in your favorite podcast browser. You can catch us on Pandora, Apple, and iHeart, as well as going to discovermontcompodcast.com and checking on all the stuff that's Montcalm County. So on that note, remember to buy and shop locally.
The Discover Montcalm podcast is produced by content creator Dwayne Weed, celebrating 40 years at DW Video and Multimedia LLC at dwvideo.com or call 231-250-9624.